So now we're going to be talking a little bit about gadgets and technology. I'm just going to get straight on with this because we're running out of time. This is Fezzi Turkalp. Fezzi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I almost got that name wrong, but I apologise. Okay, so technology for Christmas. What are the big things?
Okay, so I just tried to pick out some gadgets that I've been using, you know, during this year, for some of it at least, and the things I thought were good value for money and best of breed. So first gadget gift idea I've got is a retro phone. So those of us old enough to remember will remember when Nokia were king of the hill and no one had ever heard of an iPhone.
Yes.
And there was, in 20 years ago, in 2001, Nokia launched something called a 6310, which was it was before smartphones were a thing. It was what they now call, well, some people call them dumb phones, but they call them feature phones or candy bar phones because of their shape. Small screen, good for making phone calls and the occasional text message. For those that remember, it had a game on it called Snake.
Yes.
Which is, you know, that sort of that Snake.
I have to say to you, quite often in the past, I used to carry two phones. And the reason was not, no, people are going to be suspicious. The reason was that the batteries would drain very quickly on smartphones.
Yeah.
And in this business, people tend to phone you at the last minute and say, can you come on Sky News or whatever? The Nokia phone, literally, they perfected the battery technology to such an extent that you didn't have to charge it for 4 days.
Right. So this one, well, this one will go about a week, depending on exactly how you use it. It's again called the Nokia 6310. So 20 years later, it's got the same name. Mm. It's what they call reimagined. All right. So it's got a nicer screen, you know, better processor and all that. But it is still a dumb phone. So, you know, 12.8 inch screens, got the Snake game built into it. It's got an FM radio in it. So even if you've got no data, you can still listen. And unlike most phones that have got FM radios, this one doesn't rely on you plugging in the headphones to act as an antenna. You can just use it as it is. So that, I think that's
quite... I had a friend of mine, and he used to have one of those Nokia 6310s, and somebody said that his phone was the strongest substance known to man because it had been thrown and bashed about and whatever. I'm thinking with this phone, excellent for a child, because nowadays a lot of parents want to give phones to actually quite young children, and obviously there's always concerns about them being on Facebook and all this sort of stuff, but this thing's perfect, totally indestructible, and inevitably when they lose it, you've not lost a lot of money.
No, that's right. I mean, the list price on it is 50 quid, and you can do a bit better than that if you shop around. I think if you give this to your child, the child will hate you forever, by the way.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Unless they're into retro chic, which depends if they're...
Well, no 12-year-olds are into retro chic.
No,
it's just not. It's not the case. Right, well, I came across retro chic when you got to sixth form college, and there was one or two people, but there were still marginal figures compared to the Nike Air Max Brigade.
That's right. So it's good as a second phone. It's good for people who just want to, you know, and there are people still who just want to make phone calls and the occasional text message. And the funny thing is, a smartphone is a master of, you know, master of none, jack of all trades, master of none.
Yes.
It does so many different things that making and receiving phone calls is very low on the list.
Do you remember the old JCB phone? They'd taken, and I think it might have been a Nokia 6310, and basically made an indestructible
ruggedized
phone for a building site, which literally you could stamp into the floor and it would still make calls.
Yeah, no, I do. I remember throwing it at the wall as part of my testing, and then putting it in water. And
I've got to say to you, my mother, when she worked in the 1970s, they brought in some indestructible plates, break-free plates, and she walked straight into the canteen and went, look, they don't break, and threw it at the wall as hard as she could, and it smashed to pieces. And they said, hang on, it's not indestructible, right? Just generally, if you just drop it on the floor, it doesn't crack. Anyway, so she said I was the first customer in the canteen since they brought in the indestructible plates, and I managed to smash a plate. It's a cautionary tale.
Yeah, absolutely. But the point of a phone that is primarily a phone is it tends to be better at making receiving calls. Rather famously, one of the generations of iPhones, when still Steve Jobs was still alive, had the antenna, as most of them now do, along the circumference of the phone on the outside.
Yes.
Yeah, not the sticky out type of thing. And then when you held the phone, it diminished the signal. So that
yes,
it would
I
drop
remember off. That.
And Steve Jobs famously said, well, you're holding it wrong, which was very... You know, Steve Jobs' comment, it couldn't be that there was something wrong with the design. But there was just no room for an antenna on the inside. Now, with this phone, there is. The other person that this might be good for is those who really want to do a digital detox. You don't want to be completely disconnected, but you just want to be out of temptation's path, and this is quite good for that. So I've given it 3.5 stars out of 5 for those liking retro chic. Pick it up for less than £50, and it makes a good second phone as well. So if we're ever allowed to go out again and do fun things, and you're going to have a few drinks, you might not want to take your £1,000 iPhone.
I am sure there will be a lot of people, because I have to say to you that one of the things that I did before the pandemic with having working, you know, not every day in talk radio, but doing sort of 3 or 4 things a week, I would use talk radio as my office, right? Now, basically, just the canteen, socket, and whatever. So, of course, if you've got things like backup chargers and backup phones, they don't cost a lot of money, but suddenly you become incredibly resilient in your mobile office. And I know that's become such a huge thing.
Yeah, it's true. And also, you know, to put one of these in the glove box of your car as well, given that it will go, you know, a week or so, you know, without having to charge it, that's a good thing. You know, it can literally be a lifesaver having a device like this. So I thought it was a good gift, and it's kind of got the retro thing to it. And if your loved one had one of the originals in particular, they'll love you forever for giving them this one.
Yeah, and it is a bit of a design classic. But anyways, look, I'm talking too long. What's your next item?
Okay, gadget gift number 2. It's from Soundcore, which is a division of Anker. It's a Bluetooth speaker, but it's one with a difference. It's called the Motion Boom. And it's dubbed as an outdoor speaker, but there's actually nothing to stop you using it indoors as well. So imagine it looks like a little boombox with 2 stereo speakers and a handle on the top. But it's got an incredibly strong sound for a battery-charged device. It's got 30 watts total power.
So I've got one of those little JBL speakers. Is this similar?
Yeah, this is 30 watts output, so this will be more than you would get in most others. So it's quite an impressive stereo sound, and even when you put it, you know, they say you should never turn up anything to full volume, not because it annoys the neighbours, but because it distorts. This one, you can get very close to full volume without any discernible distortion. So the sound quality is excellent. The power output is great. It's completely waterproof. In fact, I tested it. When you throw it in the water, it floats and it doesn't die.
So what you would be talking about literally going, rather than the old days, which used to be an absolute pain, get that four-way, we want to put some music out in the barbecue, right? All you do with this one, you just come out, stick it on your table, connect it to your phone and start playing.
Well, yeah, exactly. And it's interesting you say connect it to your phone, because it's got a USB power output on it, so you can charge your phone or tablet or other device from it, because it's got this very impressive battery in it. I mean, without going into all the details, it's 10,000 milliamp hours. This means that this device will run for 24 hours between charges.
No.
Yes.
Playing music?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it's pretty good. Impressive.
So if you want to take, you know, camping weekends, you know, days at the beach, boat trips, that sort of thing, it's good. But it's just nice, you know, having it around the house. I stick mine in the bathroom. Because I don't get out much.
What are you doing in the bathroom? No, don't answer. Don't answer. Don't answer.
Don't ask me questions like that. Yeah. I take.
Although on a serious note about that, I think there are a lot of people who will sit back and say that one of the things they like to do when they get a chance is to sit in a bubble bath with a pint or a glass of wine and play some music. And look, at the end of the day, you know, when you were doing the old days of plugging in your hi-fi, you know, you were unfortunately risking your life by putting it close to water. But of course, having this waterproof device would make a difference.
Yeah, no, I had one of these. It wasn't actually this model, but it was another one from Soundcore. And I was just having a bath and I was testing it. You know, I test everything that I sort of talk about. And, you know, I saw a spider in the corner of just behind the shampoo. I picked up the shampoo and there was a great big, horrible looking spider. And I thought, OK, it's more afraid of me than I am of it. I'll leave it alone. And I accidentally tapped the taps and it caused, you know, reverberation, freaked out the spider. Spider ran straight in the water. I jumped straight out the bath. And my wireless speaker system went straight in the water, and it floated and it survived and it kept on playing, and it still works to this day. So I believe them when they say it. The other nice thing about this, and it's a subtle point, but it can make a lot of difference, it's got Bluetooth version 5. So that's one.
Now explain, because okay. I thought there was Bluetooth or not Bluetooth.
Right, so version 5 point whatever is the current version. What it gives you is improved range, and that's important. So when I don't want to go into all the details, but when I'm in the bath, my smartphone stays in the bedroom, and I beam the music to it or the radio station to it via Bluetooth. Yeah. And now it reaches it. Before it was stuttering and cutting out, now it reaches it. It drains less power because it's more power efficient, and you get a more reliable sort of stutter-free connection. So I like that.
So is this? I often get into a taxi and say, "Oh, can I connect my phone to your Bluetooth?" And you know what? 10 minutes later, you just give up because they never connect. This is because it's not a very good Bluetooth version, is it?
Yeah, I mean, Bluetooth 5 is, I mean, you can always, anything that's wireless, you can always get issues with, to be perfectly honest. But of all the Bluetooths that you want to try it with, this would be the one that you'd want to try it with, because it's going to give you a more stable connection with a better range, better sound quality as well. And although this thing, by the way, there's a nice trick that this does. Although this thing has got stereo speakers, of course, anything that's portable, the stereo speakers are not going to be that far apart. You know, if you get speakers 10 inches apart on a portable unit, you're doing well, which means that if you want the true stereo effect, you have to then be about a foot away from the device with your head between the speakers, as it were.
Yes.
But if you were to buy two of these, I'm not suggesting you do, but if you were to buy two of these, you can set it up so each one acts as a stereo speaker, one the left channel, one the right. And then you can put them in, you know, opposite corners of the room or opposite parts of the field or whatever you like, and you get stereo pairing. So it's a nice trick that it has. All in all, it's rather good. And also it uses USB-C, which is the modern type of USB connector. And the benefit of that is you can charge it from dead up to in 4 hours from a charger.
Yeah, I've got to be honest, I've moved to USB-C. I mean, I've got a Huawei phone, which is brilliant because all my pictures are backed up in Beijing. No, I'm joking. that's a joke. But the Huawei supercharge through USB-C is absolutely fantastic. I think I charge up in like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. No, it can be really good. And for devices like this, which have got a, you know, whopping great built-in battery, it's quite important because charging in 4 hours is good. Something like this might normally take overnight.
Yes.
So it's pretty good. Now, the list price on this thing is $89.99. And I, when I reviewed this earlier in the year, said that I thought that this was the best Bluetooth speaker for under £100. I notice on a well-known website named after a South American
I think you can say it's on Amazon.
Okay. All right. Well, it's when I looked at it about an hour ago, it was $75.99. So it's £14 off the list. So I thought that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, as far as talk radio is concerned, as long as we're not like doing it for money, and you know, it's all right. We can say that there's a good price on Amazon and get away with it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, let me give you a tip. Okay, this is good for anything that you want to buy, either on Amazon or elsewhere. It's really hard to know sometimes whether a deal is a deal or not.
Yes.
And you know, a lot of us just buy everything off Amazon. There is a website that I'll share with you. It's a little-known secret called camelcamelcamel.com. Silly name, but really useful website. What you do is you copy and paste into it the link for the particular item on Amazon that you're interested in.
Yeah.
It then gives you a price history of that Amazon over time. So you can see if that deal is actually, they wadged up the price the day before and then dropped it by half.
Now, that's going to be really helpful, because as I run into Christmas, and I know we're talking about technology, you know, I will be given a list of toys, effectively, for my niece and nephew. Now, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know how much any of these things are meant to cost. And so actually, all I would do in general terms is just go on to one of the online retailers and just believe them when they tell me that that their price is cheap.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So first of all, you can see the price history, and you can even differentiate between Amazon selling it and one of the third-party resellers selling it. So that's really useful. The other thing that's useful on there is you can set up a price alert. So you can say, if this price drops from the current price or it drops to a particular price, alert me. Can be email, text,
fantastic.
Message, whatever. And that is really good, and particularly because, you know, a lot of gadgets are going to be out of stock in the run-up to Christmas. You know, PlayStation 5, Nintendo Switch. You know, it's not that they don't exist in stock anywhere. It's just when they come into stock, they go out of stock within 10 minutes.
Yes.
And so if you set up alerts like this, you've got a chance. Now, Camel only works with Amazon. But there are other price comparator websites that are more generic, so they don't give you necessarily as much information. They do give you some price history. There's a good one called Price Spy, all one word. You can either download it as an app or do it through the website. So again, you can set up, it will just give you a range of prices for the object that you're interested in from different retailers, and then you can again set up a price alert.
That's similar to Trivago, isn't it? Which is kind of a product price comparison type thing, I find them quite useful. I also use Skyscanner as well, Skyscanner's brilliant. I'll tell you what, I know you're here to talk about technology, but the best thing about Skyscanner is that I don't know if it's still got it, but there's an option where you can say, I am in Luton, which is normally the best for the south of England, and I'm willing to go anywhere. What is the cheapest place to go to? Now, inevitably, the cheapest place is Belfast and Dublin and Edinburgh. But then it gets to sort of, you know, 20 quid for Berlin or whatever. Mm. And so if what you're doing is thinking, I want to go somewhere next month for a weekend, it will just tell you where the best place to go is.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And the reason I like these sorts of websites is that they put you in control and they don't toss things at you that you aren't interested in. So there are great deals websites. I mean, one of the most popular ones is hotukdeals.com. And that is just a list of people posting bargains that they've found. And it's deadly because what you end up doing is buying stuff that you had no intention of buying
because
it's so cheap, in quotes, it would be rude not to buy it, right? And the problem with that is it's really the best way to deplete your bank balance because you think you're getting a bargain.
Although I'll tell you what my mum and dad will do. And by the way, I'm going to put a call through in a second. But what my mum and dad would do running up to Christmas, and they'd always done it, is basically to go around all the shops. We're talking about the 1980s, right? So go around all the shops, but be constantly buying stuff in preparation and sort of going, I know who I'd give that to. I think the problem is it's the last minute dash brigade who don't have big families that kind of a more in trouble with the effect that you've just talked about. Anyway, I think we've got David in Leicester. David, welcome.
Welcome. Andre, are you going to be here permanently or is this just a one-off?
Well, I am here permanently in the sense that I'm a contributor at Talk Radio on a variety of shows and I also fill in as a presenter. So you will hear me on Talk Radio doing something.
Okay. Anyway, I've got a question. I was going to ask you about it, but since you've got this technical whiz kid on the line, I'll ask him about it.
Do it.
MacBook Air M1, there's rumours on YouTube and the Twitter sphere that it's going to be shortly replaced by an M2 processor. Do you know if there's any truth in that?
The MacBook Air is due for a all this is unofficial, but I believe it's due for a redesign in 2022. It's probably going to be a bit later in the year than we thought because even Apple is suffering from the worldwide chip shortage. Having said that, the MacBook Air M1 now is hard to fault. I mean, it's got a battery that goes quite literally all day long, and it's faster than you need. The only thing I would say to you is that it exists in different specifications, and one with 8 gigabytes of RAM and one with 16. If you can at all afford it, I would go with the 16, even at the expense of having less storage. But yeah, I mean, there is one around the corner. I can't tell you if it's going to be first quarter, second quarter, or third. It's just not clear because a lot of stuff was delayed this year. We were waiting for the high-end Mac Minis, and they didn't come, so they're probably going to come in the first quarter. So it just really depends. What you've got to think about, in my opinion, is, does it do the job that you want, and how would you even notice the difference? The M1 is such a fast processor. This is what they call Apple Silicon. So just for those that don't know, Apple for the last decade plus has been using Intel chips inside its computers as the main processors inside the Macs, and they got fed up with Intel because they kept being late and had processors that doubled as furnaces and room heaters. What they did was they took the chips that they'd been developing for 10 years for iPhone and iPad, and modified them slightly and put them in their Macintosh computers. And guess what? They run cool. The fans.
So, So hang on. You're telling me that phone technology is so good that they're now running laptops off the chips designed for phones?
Yeah, my iPad is cheaper than any of my desktop computers now. I mean, the operating system's not as versatile as Windows or Mac OS, but yeah, they're amazingly fast. And what they did was since the first iPhone, they've been making these chips and designing them to be powerful enough to have a touch interface and, you know, be a smooth experience. But at the same time, you know, you can't have fans inside an iPhone or an iPad. So they found a way to make these low-energy, powerful chips. And then they said, Intel, go do one, because we're going to put our own process in it. And that's what they did. So they're 1 year into a two-year process of replacing every Intel-based Mac computer, including the big Mac Pros that sell for tens of thousands of pounds, with their own processors. And even though they ramped up the power, the MacBook Air, which is a lightweight laptop that they do, doesn't have a fan in it, doesn't need one. Even the MacBook Pros, they have fans, but for the most part, you never hear them kicking in because it's so energy efficient. So they're not yet the fastest processors for gaming, although that's probably going to change in the next year or two as well. But in terms of what you want for a portable computer, which is a load of battery life, and you don't want it being noisy because the fans are always on, you don't want it burning your lap because it's so hot you can't touch parts of the chassis, this is brilliant. So my thought on it is, yes, there will be a new version out, whether it's called M1X or M2, it's just a naming convention. I think if you're interested in a MacBook Air as opposed to a MacBook Pro, then I think the existing one will be fine. And it will retain its resale value really well. Macs do that generally.
But isn't the slight problem that if David buys the one with the older chip, buys the existing model and a new chip comes out, doesn't that kill the resale value?
It doesn't kill it, no. I mean, it affects it somewhat, but it's still, I mean, Macs are notoriously, they're like the Mercedes and the BMW of the computer world. They tend to hold their value quite well compared to other vehicles. So I wouldn't have any qualms about doing it, buying one now. If you need one now, if you can wait, do so. But bear in mind that when you wait, I would say the one reason why you may wait is that it won't just, the new MacBook Air won't just be a spec bump with a new processor. It will be a redesign. And it's likely not to have that wedge shape, which I actually quite like. It's more likely to be a sort of slightly more squarish, chunky design because, again, Apple are going retro with their designs and, you know, going that way. So you can wait for it, but if the existing one does the job, that you won't lose much by buying it either.
Right, I'm going to have to interject and apologise. We've got loads more gadgets to talk about, but once again, I'm over time. I thank you so much to David. Back with Fezzy straight after this. Yes, yes, yes. Hello, hello, hello. This is Talk Radio and this is Andre Walker. I'm still joined by Fezzy Turkalp and he is, on Twitter, he's describing himself as gadget expert, which I think he is. So anyway, what is your next item that you're recommending for Christmas?
Okay, so this one comes from a company called Withings, who are well known for making smart devices to do with monitoring your health. This one is called the Withings Sleep Analyzer. It's a little cloth-type mat that unrolls and slips underneath the mattress of your bed. If you share your bed with someone else, you put it on your side, underneath your side of the mattress. And what it does is it monitors and analyzes your sleep patterns. So it doesn't just tell you how long you slept each night, which is useful. It tells you what sort of sleep you had. So was it light sleep, was it deep sleep, or was it REM sleep, which is dream sleep? Yeah. The reason why that's important is some people sleep for 8 hours but don't realize that they've only been in light sleep. And the other two types of sleep are what are known as restorative sleep. Those are the types of sleep that you need for your body to restore itself and for you to feel fresh for the next day and to maintain your health. The benefit of having it as a little mat under the mattress rather than on a wristwatch, for example, or a chest strap or something like that, is you don't have to wear anything to bed. One of the issues now, a lot of smartwatches have started doing some sort of sleep analysis, although not all of the same caliber. But the problem is, if you're wearing your watch during the day because it's a watch, and then you're wearing it at night because you want to monitor it, when are you charging your watch? Because, you know, my Apple Watch, for example, goes barely a day without it needing recharging. So this solves that problem. The other thing that it does is, it as well as giving you, you know, that sort of analysis, is it can detect a condition called sleep apnea. It looks at your heart rate. So if there's any problems with your heart overnight, so particularly people who sleep alone, they may not know that their heart's doing 120 beats a minute overnight for periods, or that it's dropping to 40 or something. So it monitors that, but it also detects something called sleep apnea. Now, sleep apnea is a condition where people sometimes stop breathing overnight. Doesn't mean they die.
Yes.
They sort of go from deep sleep, and then the body brings it to just below consciousness, and so the breathing restarts. But you would not know if your breathing has stopped a dozen times overnight. And the thing about it is a treatable condition if you know you have it. But if you don't know you have it, it's linked to dementia and it's linked to cardiac problems, yeah? So such as atrial fibrillation and so forth. So it's really important to understand your sleep. I've been using one of these for about a year now, and I've found it's helped me improve my sleep because I've been able to see what's been going on.
And sorry to interrupt, but how's it improved your sleep? So obviously, knowing that you don't get enough deep sleep is one thing, but how do you moderate your behaviour?
So it's this thing called biofeedback, right? If you can see a measure of how you're living, what you're doing, it's like weighing yourself, right? If you weigh yourself every day, or at least once a week, say, it tends to give you something to aim towards and think about tangibly in your head. Sleeping, by definition, is when you're not conscious, and therefore it's hard to know exactly what's going on. It measures other things. It measures, for example, how long you took to fall asleep, how long after you woke up you took to get out of bed. And it deals with these things called sleep hygiene, which are basically good advice. So when it detects something that's, you know, maybe not optimal, it gives you gentle and not bossy advice about how you could, you know, deal with that, you know. And I've just found that, you know, it's not always good. I mean, look, I'm up doing this now, but generally speaking, my sleep has improved and I feel a lot better for it. I feel sharper and I feel healthier. And it actually helps with weight as well. If you don't sleep properly, you tend to put on weight, which a lot of people don't realize. It's got a really good app, which is the Withings HealthMate app. It works on iOS and Android, and you can print off or get PDFs of health reports and share it with your doctor if you think there's an issue. Its full price is a shade under £120, 4.5 stars out of 5, and I never give anything 5. It's quite literally a life-changing thing, and it's the beauty of it is it's completely unobtrusive. You plug it into the wall. It's a low-power device. You're not going to electrocute yourself in the bed or anything like that, and you just forget about it. You leave it there for a year, and it just does its job.
I think so. Great. I just want to point out that one important thing. Obviously, this is for people who do not believe they've got any sort of medical problem. If you do believe you've got a medical problem, fairly obviously you go and see your doctor.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's the next item?
Okay. Well, I'm going to skip to number 5 just in case we run out of time. It's from Logitech, called the Logitech MX Keys Mini. Now, Logitech have carved out a niche for themselves as making really high-quality accessories. I prefer these keyboards, and they have one that's for PC and Mac and one that's for Mac only, okay? It's the only real difference is, you know, the Mac keyboard's got different printing on some of the keys. I believe that these are better quality than the ones that come with Macintosh computers, which are also very good quality. I actually prefer it. So when I run a Mac, I pull out the standard keyboard and I put one of these in its place. This one's called the MX Keys Mini, not because the keys are small, but because it's done away with the numeric keypad and some of the other superfluous keys. The really nice thing about
get out of it. Superfluous? Yeah. You can't use your calculator without those side keys.
Well, if you want one, you would just buy the MX Keys without the word Mini on the end.
It's funny, I'm looking. Logitech are the manufacturers of the keyboards we've got here. And obviously this is quite an equipped modern studio, so it must be quite a good brand.
Well, they are, and they're, what, you know, they're not completely silent, but they're quite quiet. So when I use them when I'm on air, for example, you don't hear clattering. The other nice thing about it is if you've got
that wasn't too bad. No, I was genuinely testing it. I wasn't trying to have a go. But I mean, but if I press like that, you can't really hear that, can you? Presumably just a tiny bit.
No. I mean, if you're careful with it. And so these are what's called a chiclets type keyboard. The really nice thing is you can control up to 3 devices with the same keyboard. You just hit button 1, 2, or 3 and switch between them.
Oh, wow.
And your keyboard and mouse suddenly control the different devices. And the really nice thing is if you install the software, you, let's say you've got a PC, a Mac, and an iPad in a row on your desk, you can actually drag the mouse pointer across from PC to Mac to iPad.
Whoa.
And you can drag documents from one computer to the other. Just for, so this is a really nice, chic, heavy, high-quality metal keyboard, and it'll last forever. It's not cheap. It's a list price of about £100, 4.5 stars out of 5, and it's called the Logitech MX Keys Mini.
I think a lot of people will struggle, though, with that price, won't they?
Do you know what? I would agree with you, and I'll be honest with you. They sent me one of these to test, and I would, in the first instance, I would not have paid for one because I thought, well, £100 for a keyboard. But I spend so long using it, and it's just made such an improvement to the enjoyability of the time that I spend there. You know, it actually feels nice. It feels solid. It's got this thing where I don't have to have 2 or 3 keyboards that I, you know, shove onto my desk and shove the other one off when I want to power up the other machine. It's actually made a real improvement. If you spend a lot of time, you know, tapping away at a keyboard, then it should be a good keyboard.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You've got things like repetitive stress disorders and all that sort of thing. The other thing you were going to talk about, and we've only got 30 seconds, you also were saying that something about UV sanitizer.
Oh, yeah. So this is from Belkin. Again, they produce accessories. This is a wireless charger. It looks like the shape of a smartphone, but fatter. And you put your Qi charging phone, which is a standard of wireless charging, on top. It charges wirelessly. But the trick is it opens. It looks a bit like a coffin. It sort of opens up and you pop your smartphone into it and you close it, and it uses ultraviolet light to help sanitize your smartphone. One word of warning, I wouldn't rely on it as your only way of sanitizing. If you're worried about sanitizing your phone, use antiviral wipes like Clinel are the ones that they use.
But I suppose it's like the sleep thing as well. These are for people who are not, I'm not saying not serious about it, but obviously if you are working in a hospital or something like that, you're going to have to get taken a bit more seriously. Anyway, Fezzi Turkalp, thank you so much for coming on. And thank you to everybody. Sorry that Daryl was away. I hope I haven't offended you too much during this evening. I want to thank Mark Randall and Aaron Gomez. I think it's Gomez, isn't it? Yes, who produced this show. Mark, I haven't had you on microphone tonight. That's been a bit depressing. But anyway, say hello.
Hello.
Right, that's the end of it. Okay, so I've been Andre Walker. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm going to be back at some point in the future somewhere. Goodbye.